Sacrifice on the cross in our place. We're grateful, Lord, that He carried the burdens of our sin on the cross. We're thankful, Father, that You punished Him instead of us, and that You took our burdens, our cares, our sorrows, our pains, and put them on Him. And so we come, Lord God, today as an act of worship to You. Lord, we adore You today. Thank You for being who You are, and we're grateful for who You are making us to be. Father, we're grateful that You know that in this world we have struggles, trials, pain, and suffering. Your word tells us that we would, but we thank You for Jesus who has overcome the world. We're thankful that we can find our peace in Him, our comfort, our courage for living, Lord, the healing for our brokenness. Through Him, Lord. We're so grateful today, Lord, for all that You've done out of Your great love for us. We're thankful, Father, that You love the world so much that You gave Jesus. And so my simple prayer is that we would see Jesus today and that we would live for His glory to make Him known. In His name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God for Him Himself with His great love. Amen. Amen. I want to quick announcement. We, trustees of Paul, a special Paul meeting for next week, next Sunday after church. We'll be here, so whosoever will, if you're a member of the Adopted Bible Fellowship Church, we'll ask that you remain for a few minutes after church service on next week. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to John. Turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. Chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 1 down to verse 5 for today. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed Him because they saw the signs which He was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up His eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to Him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" Amen. Amen. The last beginning of this year, rather, from the beginning of this year, we've been speaking on spiritual attitudes for a successful year, or to get us to where Jesus wants us to go, where He wants us to be. today, we're not really leaving that mindset, at least I'm not in my mind, about being on mission with Jesus or considering ourselves to be on mission with him. It is a mindset. It's an attitude that we have to have, which sometimes, maybe more than often, we don't have that attitude, that we're on mission with Christ, that he left us here to use us to fulfill the mission for which he came. Someone prayed this prayer, Lord, I've never moved the mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet, I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing thee, and for all the mountain moving down through life that you've done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I can bear, you have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that have looked so big. Many times I've had problems when bills I've had to pay, and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day. Lord, I don't know how you did it, can't explain the where's or why's. All I know, I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yes, I thank you, Lord of heaven. You have always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I'll have no fear. For the mountain-moving Jesus is my strength. And he's always, always near. We can't move mountains. I know I can't. But Jesus certainly can. We can't solve the insurmountable problems that we face in life. But Jesus certainly can. We can't make sense of what's going on in the world, or maybe in our personal world. But Jesus certainly can. The Bible tells us, we've lived long enough to know that problems are inevitable in this life. But with those problems, Jesus has purpose. And he uses problems for his end and for God's glory. How does Jesus use problems in our lives? Well, our objective is to see Jesus, to really see him. I know most of us in here say we know him. But the disciples in the text, they knew him as well, to a point. We want to see Jesus as he's been revealed in the Bible. And we want to be satisfied with him as the mountain-moving Jesus, huh? And we don't want to just leave it with us. We want to share him with others who have problems in their lives that they just don't know what to do. In our text, I think Jesus, and one of the things we'll make clear today, is that Jesus used this situation with his disciples as an opportunity. And that word opportunity is swimming around in my head lately. The Lord gives us opportunity. And we want to say this big statement today, that Jesus uses problems as opportunities. He uses them as opportunities. And particularly today, he uses them as opportunities to reveal himself to people. We may see the problems just as problems, but Jesus sees them as opportunities. As opportunities. Jesus used the moment in our text to teach his disciples who he was. John connects the question that Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to get food to feed these 5,000 folks? He connects it back with verses 1 through 4, where it said these things are all that had happened prior, and the large crowds that were following Jesus. Jesus goes up on a mountain there, and he sat down with the people. And then in verse 4, John tells us that now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And so from there in verse 5, John writes that therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing the crowds, he asks Philip a question. Where are we going to get bread to feed these people? So he connects the two. Therefore is the transition word. He connects the two, and we ask the question, why did he do that? Well, because Jesus' intention in this moment was to teach, to show them more about himself, as simple as that, and as important as that. And upon seeing the crowd and knowing that the Passover was approaching, Jesus saw the gathering crowd as a teachable moment. He never wasted a crowd. He never wasted an opportunity with a crowd. And Jesus saw them and saw it as a time when he could teach them more about himself. The Passover, as we know, celebrated the Lord's deliverance of his people out of slavery, right? To the Egyptians. We know that, right? Well, we should know it. The Passover was about, and they commemorated it, they celebrated it because they remember, they look back when God delivered his people from slavery to the Egyptians. That's what that was about. We remember during Black History Month how our foreparents were brought over here, and the time now that we have been delivered out of slavery, right? Well, more important than that is the fact that the Passover celebrated the fact that God delivered his people out of slavery to the Egyptians. The Passover, though, was for more than that. It was designed to reveal the love and the mercy of our great God. The love and mercy that was demonstrated through the sacrificial lamb of God. And we should know that the feast of the Passover pointed to Jesus. We know that, right? If you don't, I'm telling you today, the feast of the Passover pointed to Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a ritual that they went through. In fact, all the things that happened in the Old Testament by way of the sacrifices of the Jews, they all pointed to Jesus Christ. Such was the case with the Passover as well. And we should know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Passover. Jesus himself was the fulfillment of the Passover. Jesus was the Lamb of God who was slain. And here in our text, Jesus uses the moment to open the minds of the Jews and to open our minds to the truth that he is the Lamb of God. He put the spotlight on himself. Passover is coming. Let me use this as a moment to show them who I really am. It was an opportunity that Jesus captured to reveal more of himself to his followers. A time when he could show them in a tangible way that he himself is the bread of life. The only one who satisfies our deepest, most deepest yearnings. Jesus saw the moment as an opportunity to further solidify in the minds of his disciples that he was, in fact, the Christ, the Messiah, God the Son. He wanted them and needed them to get that down if they were to share him with the world. And may I say quickly here that we do too, right? We need to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb. He's the fulfillment. fulfillment of the Passover. And if we are going to share him with others, then we have to have that rooted and grounded in our minds and hearts. If we don't, then we don't share him. We get caught up with other. We think there's some, the other religions are okay as well, but they're not. They're not. Jesus wanted them to get this down in their hearts and in his mind, in their minds, and he wants us to get it down as well. And even though we may know Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's still much to learn of him, isn't it? There is. I know you know, we know some of the basic facts about Jesus, but there's knowing him is knowing him experientially and knowing him in our lives on a day-to-day basis, not just knowing the facts of Scripture. There are a lot of people who know the facts of Scripture. They know what the Bible says, but do those facts have an impact on us? Do they make a difference in the way we live and how we think and how we relate to people? That's what Jesus wanted to get across to them. That he was the Lamb of God, that he was the bread of life, that he was the one who feeds us and cares for us day by day. And we should grow in our knowledge of him and grow in our knowledge of how he relates to us as the people of God. Jesus used the moment to teach the crowd who he was. He saw 5,000 people. The text tells us that. He saw 5,000 people coming, gathering around him. He saw them, and he wanted to reveal himself to them that day. And upon seeing the crowd of men coming, maybe it was more, but we get 5,000 from John. John says 5,000 people came, and Jesus again posed that question to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? He said, Phil, we got a problem here. We have 5,000 men who have followed us up here, and it's getting late, and they're hungry. How are we going to feed them? Now I ask the question, was there a reason that Jesus singled out Philip? He called Philip by name. Well, Philip was a native of the area, spoken of in our text where they were. Philip would know the area better than anyone else, and he would know where to go and buy bread. Course, but that's not what Jesus was getting at with him. But to be sure, as our text informs us, Jesus was not intending for them to actually go and buy bread. Right? We see that later on. He knew what he was going to do. And an interesting detail to the story that Matthew and Mark and Luke include in their account was that when the disciples saw the crowd, they told Jesus to send them away so that they could get some food themselves. But Jesus' response to the disciples was, you give them something to eat. The conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, I think it conveys a few important realities about his dealings with people and his dealings with us. One, Jesus sees people. He sees people and is concerned about their temporal and their spiritual well-being. Have you ever wondered whether God really sees you? Whether he's really listening to you? Whether he really knows what's going on or cares about what's going on in your life? Well, I gather when Jesus told the disciples, hey, we got to feed them. Jesus sees people, and he is concerned about their temporal or physical well-being as well as their spiritual well-being. And we must be ever mindful of the mission of Jesus. And what was the mission of Christ? To seek and save those who are lost. To seek and save those who needed to know him. And he was referring to saving people from their sin. Sin, of course, is the fundamental problem of mankind. And Jesus came because God loves people. And Jesus came so that we might be forgiven of our sin. That was his ultimate intent, even in carrying out what he carried out in this passage. He came to deliver us from the eternal torment and punishment eternal separation from experiencing the love of God, the peace and joy and contentment of that relationship that we have with God. And I think as the world moves on, if I can interject this here, I think that we're beginning to see that that is becoming the most important question to deal with, or issue to deal with, is where are people going to spend eternity? Where are we going to spend eternity? Because this world is coming to a close. Jesus accomplished his mission, of course, on the cross, I need to say here. He was always laser beam focused on his mission. Jesus never got off track like you and I did. He never got distracted from why he was here in the first place. He was never discouraged from doing what he came to do. The cross was ever before him. But he also demonstrated compassion for people in regard to what was happening in their lives in the moment, their temporal needs, even those who did not know him as Messiah, because there were many, many in the crowd who did not know who he was and had not believed in him. See, Jesus was balanced in his ministry as we need to be. He met both the temporal and the spiritual needs. He was observant of the physical deficiencies that people struggled with. Indeed, he was. He observed the mental and emotional struggles that people went through, and he was also keenly aware of the void in their lives because they didn't have a relationship with the true and living God by knowing him. Jesus was aware that the woman at the well didn't just need water. You remember the story of the woman at the well. He knew she didn't just need water. She was coming to that well, but Jesus knew there was something else going on in her life that was keeping her from God. He knew that she'd been sleeping around, but that she was empty on the inside and wrestling with guilt and shame. So he offered her the opportunity, teachable moment for her, opportunity. He offered her the opportunity to be delivered and to find meaning in life and value and self-worth apart from the men who had been using and abusing her. He said, you can find it in me, the well that never runs dry. Jesus knew that the leper was lonely, right? He knows how lonely, he knows we're lonely. Anybody here lonely? Jesus knows that. Yeah, he sees us. Yeah. You know, you tell your kids, I see you. Got my eyes on you. Jesus does that in a loving way. He says, I see you. I have my eyes on you. He saw that leper. He saw the leper and the loneliness of the leper. He saw the disconnectedness of that leper from people. Jesus understood the pain of being physically separated and emotionally distant from others. Jesus understands that. So he reached out, and you know the story, he reached out and he touched the leper. Nobody did that. Nobody touched the leper. Well, Jesus said, I'm here. I've come so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to touch sinful humanity. And so he touched that leper. Let it, that leper know that God loves you and he's willing to deal with the pain and the struggle that you have. He held a conversation with him and he ultimately healed him. Jesus himself said that it's not the healthy that need a physician, right? It's not people who have everything that they need that need help, right? No, it's the sick people who need help. The sick people who need help. People are still sick today, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. People need Dr. Jesus who sees them. That's what we come to say today. They need Dr. Jesus who has infinite understanding of what ails them from the inside out. And we need Dr. Jesus who is able to heal our brokenness. Some of us are broken in here today. In fact, if we were honest, all of us are broken, right? We all have some stuff that we deal with. I know you're a believer. I know you've been walking. talking with Jesus for a while. I know you look all spiritual and fixed up today, but you got some brokenness too. And I have some brokenness too. See, Jesus did not turn a deaf ear to needs that he was able to address. But we know from the Bible, Jesus didn't heal everybody. No, he did not solve every problem that people had on this earth, did he? That was never his intent. Do we understand that? That the problems of this age will never be fully solved or completely solved until Jesus comes back and does everything new. Do we understand that? I pray that we do. But when Jesus looks at people gathering together, I mean, when he looks at people in the world, he does not merely see just a body there. No, he goes deeper than that. And he peers into the minds. And he looks at the heart. He does some open heart spiritual surgery to get down there where you are and where I am. Those areas that we don't want anybody else to know about. The things that cause us stress and duress, struggle and heartache. No, Jesus, our Lord, has a heart for people. And he wants us to have a heart for them as well. Because he uses us to be on a mission with him. Well, the life lesson here is that Jesus cares about the holistic needs of people. And by holistic, we're talking about all of us. All of us, we think knowing Jesus is fire insurance. I know I've said that before. We may think about all it is. Hey, you get to go to heaven. And there's nothing else in between. Well, we have to live on this globe. And we have to deal with ourselves, and we have to deal with people. We have to live in relationship with people. And that brings some stuff that can be challenging to deal with. And that can cause some pain. And that can leave some scars. He has called his church. He cares about the holistic needs of people, and he has called his church to care as well. I hope that's our mindset this year. It's that he has called us to be on a mission with him. It's not just Jesus caring for them. In fact, it's Jesus caring for them through us. We're conduits. We're vessels in his hands. And through us, he helps people to make that connection with him. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. Jesus, he uses the problems of people to reveal his love for them and his care for them. I was reminded again in Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3. It says, hallelujah. Can I say it like that? Amen. Hallelujah. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and lovely to praise him. Why? Why? We should always ask that question, why? Scripture says something, why? Why is it good to say hallelujah? Why is it good to sing praises to our God? Why is it pleasant? Why is it lovely to praise him? Well, verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He builds up his people. Not just talking about the city. He's talking about the people living in the city. And sometimes what's happening in the city, the brokenness and the pain and the evil in the city is caused by the people in the city, right? The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. Of course, he was talking about his called out people of Israel. But by way of extension, he's talking about us too, right? That's why we pray, because he builds us up. Verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. Don't you know? I love that. He heals the brokenhearted. And He binds up their wounds. You may have some heartache that no one can really see. We don't reveal our whole and true selves to everybody, do we? No, we don't do that. If you saw my whole and true self, you'd probably run up out of here scared, amazed. We don't show it. But we have it. People don't know. People can't see it. But Jesus does. Jesus sees you. He sees you. And I'm not just talking about your physical self. He sees your mind, your heart, and soul. And he cares about what's going on in you. He cares about what's going on in the world today. He cares about what's going on in our personal world. And he cares about what's going on in your heart. Now, again, I say Jesus is not going to cure every physical ailment on this side of heaven. No, he is not going to do that. Thank him that we can thank him that he does heal sometimes, right? Some people get sick. When we pray, God responds. But he's not going to do that all the time. He doesn't do that all the time. So I'm never going to stand here and lead you down a road that the false road of thinking that, hey, all we got to do is pray and Jesus will heal you. Well, we pray. We know that he can. But we leave it up to him. We leave it up to him. And he's not always going to do that on this side of him. But thanks be to God that on the other side of death. But he does care. He cares what's going on in your heart. And he'll heal your broken heart. He'll bind up your wounds. He is always available to do that on this side. He's not going to solve every problem the way we may want him to. And when we want him to. Ain't we something? We got it all worked out. We come to him with the answer, with the time. And he says, wait a minute, I think you flipped the script. I'm God. Yeah. You're the creature. Yeah. I'm the creator. And I do it in my time and in my way. Now, he's not going to solve the problem, right? You may want them solved. But he's going to help you when you're a child of God. Problem often is that we reject the help he gives us. It's not like we want it to be. So, no, God, that's not the answer. But Jesus cares. And he'll give us the mental capacity, the emotional strength, and the wisdom to make decisions as we walk through the valleys of life. That's what he'll do. Every time. We may wonder why. We may become frustrated because he doesn't do something about our situation when we know that he could heal and deliver. But in spite of all that, we must live with the conviction that Jesus sees us. Now that's growing up in the faith. Jesus sees us. I got this stuff going on, but Jesus sees me. He knows I'm hungry. He knows I'm hurting. He knows my burden. He knows my brokenness. He knows my pain. He's not doing anything about it, but he sees me. I know he sees me. I know he cares about me. And I know he is helping me, even though I'm not feeling it right now. We have to keep before us that his eye is on the sparrow. And we know that he watches us. Watches us. Jesus also engages his disciples with the real life issues that people face. See, I can't just leave it at Jesus seeing us and Jesus engaging with people and Jesus reaching out to people, because being involved with him and on mission with him and being involved in ministry is about him engaging us with other folk. He said, "Philip, where are we?" Did you see that? The pronoun. Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? I want us to notice that Jesus, and this is a simple notice, but let's notice it. I want us to notice that Jesus did not send the crowd away for them to find something to eat for themselves, right? No, he didn't say it. He did not excuse himself nor his disciples from engaging in the real life issue of the people that they were facing at that moment in time. Yeah, Jesus intended to do something about the need of the crowd. He had every intention. And he engaged his disciples in that experience as well. Where are we going to get something, Phil? With the other ones listening in. What can we do about this? What would you expect them, or what was Jesus expecting of them? Well, in light of what he had already done, I would imagine that he expected them to see that this was a small issue to them. For him, for them, it was a big issue, but for him, anyway, he had changed water into wine, right? If he could do, I know what you said, well, if I was one of the disciples, I would have remembered that. And I would have made the connection. And I would have said, well, Jesus, you changed water into wine, so this is a small thing for you, Jesus. But no. They were hard of hearing and seeing, just like we are. Just like how Jesus does stuff for us and he does stuff for other people, and we still wonder, how is this problem going to be solved? No, Jesus wanted to engage the disciples in that real life issue. And yes, he intended to do something about it. But he wanted them engaged and involved. And I need to say this, that while our text makes it crystal clear that Jesus saw the crowd, we must understand that Jesus wanted the disciples not just to see the crowd, but to see him. Stay with me. To see him. And understand that with him, they were able to enter into the pains of life with people and not just see the people, but help them. Help them how? Because he was with them. And it was really him working through them. That's what Jesus wanted them to see, and that's what he wants us to see. Jesus wanted the disciples, just like he does us, to look past their own personal limitations. Right? And look to him, because he is the unlimited resource who is able to meet the needs of people. You know, I can struggle. I'm better, but I still struggle with my limitations. Yeah, I heard one amen. I still struggle with my limitations. As long as I've been walking with the Lord, I still, and Jesus said, like he said, don't you get it yet? Don't you get it yet? It's not about you. It's not about your limitations. It's about Jesus being the unlimited resource. And him meeting the needs of others through us. You know, we look at us too much.
Yeah.
We're too self-centered. Self-absorbed. I know you say, well, that's not me. Well, you deal with the Lord yourself. We're too self-absorbed as followers of Christ. We're not talking about people out there in the world. We need to see Jesus. Now, my lesson here is simply this. Jesus presents opportunities for his church to be engaged with him. Don't leave that out. To be engaged with him in the real life issues of people. And may I say on the side here, we're not just talking about having potluck dinner so people can have a fellowship. That's okay. That's okay, but people are dealing with some real stuff. And I just believe, based on what the Word of God has said, that Jesus wants to use his church. Even us as here. To help reach beyond ourselves. To deal with the real life issues that people are wrestling with today. We're ambassadors for Christ. And he sends us to those with temporal needs as well as those who are spiritually destitute and in need of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He gives us opportunities to take a close look at people. Do we take a close look at people and see people? Do we hear them? Really listen? Because sometimes when people talk to you, they'll reveal what's going on in their lives. I'm learning to do that more. Really tune in to people. And let people talk. Let them tell on themselves. So that you can help them. He gives us opportunities to take a close look at people in regard to both their physical and spiritual needs, and to engage with them on their journey. And he gives us the opportunity to work with him, to work with him, to work with him in meeting their needs. He's called us to that. And he gives us opportunities to do that. I remember and I was trying to get the date or the time frame for it, but my mind is becoming more short these days. But not too long ago, maybe the summer of 22 last year, or the spring, I was sitting in my office here at church, and my office faces Moni Road out here. And so I can see when people walk by. I can see when people drive by. So I'm sitting there and I see this guy, African American gentleman, wasn't that old, but I saw him walking by. And he was on crutches. But not only was he on crutches, the man had a big old backpack that was stacked to the max. I mean, he had some stuff, and then he had some stuff in his hand. And so he was making his way down the street. And so I looked out, and I quickly looked back down.
And I tried to, I tried to ignore. I said, no, Lord don't want me to do anything. But my eyes went back out there too. And, you know, I heard that Steel Smart, you need to do something to help this man out. You can go check it out. And I didn't think it was the Lord. So I ignored it. I ignored it for about 2 or 3 minutes. Long enough for the man to get from my window to this corner, right here. That's how long I procrastinated about it. And in my mind, too, you know how we do. Well, I go there and I help this guy out, I give him a ride. Ain't no telling what he might do to me. You all know how that is, right? I mean, we live in that day, right? We live in that day. So I kind of thought about that for a minute or two. But I said, no, if this is you, then you got me. You know, in the worst case scenario, if he does blow me away, I'm going to be with the Lord. You know, so I'm good on either side, right? So I made the decision to go out there. So I went out there and I flagged the guy down. I said, hey, you know, can I help you? You know, where you're going, engage them in conversation and whatnot. And he said, yeah, I said, I can give you a ride somewhere if you want to. And he said, yeah, he was really appreciative. And he was really hurt. Something had happened to his leg. He said he was working for this guy, and this guy I guess he was staying for this guy that he was working with, and the guy kicked him out of the house when he didn't need him anymore, and he didn't have any money, he needed to go here and go there. And so I ended up taking him over here to Park Forest and helping him out a little bit. But I say that to say the Lord gives us opportunity. He prompts us. He puts it on our. He wants us, my brothers and sisters, to engage with him in meeting the needs of people. Because ministry is being on a mission with Jesus to serve the people that he brings across our paths. That's what serving God is about. Serving God by serving people. Sadly, some people think that the Christian life is just about them and Jesus. I don't hate to burst your little bubble today, it's not. And what we are challenged with is our tendency to think and act just like the disciples. Lord, send them away so that they can help themselves. Let somebody else help them. Somebody else will pick that guy up down the street. The Lord says, but I sent them to you. I sent them to you. I sent him across your path. It's not somebody else's job right now. I'm giving you the opportunity to engage with me in helping whomever I am. You just lean on me. You just allow me to use my power through you. You just trust me. You just trust me. Well, the other thing here today, if I can get through it, let me rush on for a few minutes. Jesus also presents his disciples with problems that are impossible for them to fix, right? He presents us with problems, with challenges in our own lives and in the lives of others that are impossible. Just some impossible situations that we face. He said, where are we to buy bread so that these 5,000 some odd folk can eat? The problem, of course, was feeding those 5,000 people at one time with no local Walmart nearby. No, this was an insurmountable problem. From the perspective of the disciples, because they only saw it through their own human perspective. They weren't seeing with spiritual eyes. They weren't thinking with the mind of Christ as we often don't. They said, we're out here in this desolate location. We don't have enough money. They thought the issue was money. He said, the problem is too big. But Jesus presented the disciples with this problem to give them the opportunity to look to whom? To him. Because he put them to the test. He wanted them to look to him, to see him, and to demonstrate their faith in him, to teach them and to teach us about himself, and to look, always look to him. And to underscore their limitations. Yeah, Banks, yeah, Agape, you're limited. You have limitations without a doubt. But he wanted to demonstrate to them and wanted them to see, like he wants us to see, his unlimited ability to solve any problem. Any problem. Any problem. And to illustrate his purpose for coming to this earth, which was to seek and save that which is lost. Lost people were in that crowd. Hurting, empty people were in that crowd. And Jesus took the opportunity, my friends, to reach out to them in a very practical way and use that moment as an evangelistic opportunity to reveal himself to them. That's what Jesus was up to then, and that's what he is up to now. That was, as you know, John's purpose even for writing the gospel, so that people may see, they would see those signs and know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and seeing that, believe in him. Believe in him. And have life in his name. Our life lesson here is this, that our problems, my friends, are not problems to Jesus. Can we think that? Can we have that mindset? Can we, Lord, help me to develop that attitude that, Lord, my problems, the problems of other people, are not problems to you. They're not problems to him. They are opportunities for him to deepen our knowledge of him and increase our faith in him and reveal himself as the Savior of the world. That's what problems are to our great God and Savior. They're not problems to God. Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power, Chuck Swindoll said. Every opportunity, every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day, he says, we encounter countless golden opportunities. Have you ever thought of problems as golden? I doubt it very seriously that many of us have. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. Isn't that like God? He disguises, look at God, he disguises problems or opportunities as insurmountable problems. Behind the scene of what's going on in your life is God's opportunity to demonstrate his power in your life and in my life and in the Bible. I wonder if Jesus has presented us with any opportunities disguised as insurmountable problems. Has he? You know we've missed some of them. You know we haven't been looking like that. Problems that we know or think can't be solved by human effort alone. Problems that people are experiencing that Jesus has brought you into and me into and said, what can we do? What can we do? Not what can you do. What can we do? You give them something. You help them. You be the bridge between them and me. problems, situations that our intellectual reasoning can't figure out. People trying to figure out all the problems in the world. We can't figure this stuff out. I'm not smart enough. You're not smart enough. The world is not smart enough. Because there are problems for which money can't buy a solution. Money can't solve the problem of ego in a person's heart. No, money can't solve the problem of the pain experienced from broken relationships. Money can't deliver people from the fear of death. The problem of sin cannot be solved with human effort. Impossible. Impossible. We are presented with problems that cannot be solved by human solutions because they are spiritual in nature. And spiritual problems can only be solved by Jesus Christ. You know, the world is faced with some serious problems that nobody can fix, right? We know we should be settled. We should be settled that there are things going on in the world that are beyond our comprehension and beyond man's ability to solve. Science can't solve them. Politicians certainly can't eradicate them. They can't eradicate evil from the streets because that's the issue. I wonder, when these problems come, that we who say, praise the Lord, he's ahead of my life. I wonder if we think about Jesus as we look at these problems, that he is able to change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus sees people. Jesus deals with people. Jesus engages with people. And Jesus engages us with people. And he's the only one who can satisfy what ails mankind. In Jeremiah 32 and 27, the Lord said, behold, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. The God of all flesh. And Jesus was there too because the God that was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when you're talking in the Old Testament about God talking to people, you're talking about the triune God. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? And of course, the required answer is no. That's the required answer to that question. No, nothing is too difficult for God. And that should be our mindset. That should be our mindset as we think about where people are in our circle of influence. Because we think, man, that person is beyond being saved. But God said, is anything too difficult for me? It's not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's what he can do. In our final statement here today, or lesson here today, is the problems that cannot be solved by us. And we understand there are problems that can't be solved by us. They are divine opportunities for Jesus to reveal himself as the bread of life, satisfying us, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was his goal when he posed the question to Philip. Phil, do you see me? Peter, James, John, do you see me? Not just do you see this problem, do you see me? His goal was to help them to see it as a divine opportunity for him to reveal himself. To deal with that problem. To deal with that issue. Do you see problems as golden opportunities. I'm asking the Lord to help me. I'm asking him, and I'm your so-called pastor, right? So you know what my prayer for you is. God, help him. God, help us to see problems as golden opportunities. The problem is that sometimes we see only the problem. And we miss the Lord. We miss Jesus, who is over all problems and who is present with us. We miss Jesus because our minds are so focused on the problem that the solution, who is Jesus, is obscured. He becomes fuzzy. He goes to the background. Because we're so consumed by the problem and worry controls us. We're so afraid that things aren't going to work out the way we want them to work out. And we become frantic. And we take our eyes off the Lord. And the moment we take our eyes off the Lord, my friends, that's when the trouble really begins. We're overly concerned because the problem is so big in our minds. And you know the devil wants you there too, right? He wants that thing to be blown up, magnified to the nth degree so that Jesus becomes fuzzy in our minds. Not that we should act like the problem doesn't exist or ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, everything is fine. Everything is good. Everything is hunky-dory. No, it's not. I got some issues. People in my circle have some issues. But I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And my hope is in him. We shouldn't act as though the problem doesn't exist. But because Jesus is our Savior, we know that he sees us. And we know that he sees people. And we know that he knows what we need and what they need. We know that he is able to do far beyond what we can ask or imagine. That's what the word says. And we know that he is able to lead us in triumph for his glory, for his praise. His will, the Lord's will is done, my friends, in our lives. When we see him. When we see him. That's a great victory. It's a great point of growth. To get to the point that we can sift through our issues, sift through the problems, and rivet our attention on our great God and Savior. And what he is able to do. He's glorified when we can still have joy in the midst of pain and suffering. But that's not the devil don't want you to be there. You know that, right? And we have made these grooves in our lives that we walk in. I got a problem, and you know, I gotta be down and out, and I'm frustrated. No. We see Jesus. He is glorified. When our faith in him remains firm, even though we are tossed to and fro by the turbulent winds of life. Got some stuff going on in your life? See Jesus. The devil wants us to see our problems and not our problem solver. Because Jesus gets no glory from your life. I need to quit. Jesus gets no glory from our lives when we are living in defeat. Under the weight of problems. He gets no glory out of that. But there is great glory to Jesus, my friends, when we are walking in victory in the midst of, faced with, the problems of life. Won't you see Jesus? Won't we ask him Lord, help us to see you. Help us to see you. And help us to trust you. Won't you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father God, we would see Jesus. Help us. Help us, Lord God, to get past us. Help us to get past our problems. Forgive us, Lord, for seeing our problems as bigger than you. Help us to see you as the great God, the great King above all the earth, the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or even imagine. And Father, would you help us as we relate to other people? Lord, we know we're on a mission with you, with Christ. We're ambassadors in this world. So, Lord, as we are engaged by you with other people, help us not to be thinking that it's just about what we can do apart from Christ. Father, would you help us to see the we as Jesus and us engaged with other people? Lord, we want to be on a mission with you. We want to have this mindset that you have called us. Not just to go to heaven. Not just to be saved from our sins. But to engage in life with others so that they can know your love. So that they can be saved and set free. We thank you, dear Father, for all you've done through Christ and all that you're going to do. Help us, Lord, so that we won't miss many more golden opportunities that you place in our path. We thank you for being such a God as this, that you would use frail humanity in the work of saving the world. We know we don't save. We know Jesus saves. But Lord, you use us as vessels. Help us, oh God, to submit ourselves to you willingly, enthusiastically, with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for one who may not have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe they have not allowed themselves to be touched by the cross, the sacrifice for them. Maybe they haven't seen that he conquered the grave and conquered death, conquered sin. Lord, when he died on that cross and got up from the grave, I pray that you would open their eyes and help them to see Jesus as you want them to see him. And Lord, help those who say they have trusted you, help us to see Jesus afresh with renewed eyes, with a renewed desire to be on mission with him. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you want to accept God's offer of love. The Bible says God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. You simply need to have faith in Christ. Not that he's calling you to give you everything that you want him to give you. He came to give you salvation, the forgiveness of your sin. And you can accept that by saying, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you have accepted him and you don't have a church home. You're not connected with the family of God. You can make the Agape Fellowship in your church home. You can make a decision today. You can make that decision right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So choose Jesus today. Choose Jesus today. Let me know of your decision. Send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. If you're here today, you can come forth and say, I want to accept Christ. I want to be a part of the Agape Bible Fellowship Church. Amen. Amen. Won't you stand with me for our benediction today? And now, to our great God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church, both now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together say, amen. Amen. Amen.
Doing better? Is your eye doing better?
Yeah.